Hey, Wildcast fans, Adam from the podcast. Hope you're enjoying your summer, and welcome back to another episode of Wildcast Wednesday Replay, as we replay some of our favorite episodes from this past season, and today was no different. We go back to August 30th, smack dab in the middle of training camp. We talk deadline deals, we talk the preseason showcase over in Kitchener, as well, we answered most of your questions, because you know what? Without you guys, this show isn't anything, so I hope you enjoy. And stay tuned, as we'll have another episode next Wednesday as well. Don't forget, we are live back in August. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, live from Wildcast Studios, with your hosts, Adam Lund, Chris Thompson, and Jeremy Boucher.
What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, where we talk about everything Moncton Wildcats. I am your host, Adam. As always, I am here with my two co-hosts, Chris Dobson and Jeremy Boucher.
Good evening.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, tonight's episode is sponsored by Sports Rock Mountain Road. We were there last night for Wing Night. It was packed. It was a good time. So check them online for nightly deals.
Absolutely. Had a blast last night. Thanks so much to the Sports Rock on Mountain Road for having us out. We had a lot of fun. You know, she was a packed house last night, and a lot of people came out to, you know, show some support.
That's right. And best wings in Moncton. Don't forget it.
I will concur with that. So, anything going on that you guys have heard from this team, or it's
yeah, few things. I think we've seen a lot of cuts. I think we've seen some final situations handled between the net. Our D line's been settled, or so we think. The guys left for Ontario already.
Yeah,
you know, they're going out there, which I think is that showcase is an absolute fantastic idea. Can't wait. It's unfortunate we're not going to get a chance to see any of that stuff here. I was hoping to maybe, you know, catch something online, stream, or even have it on television, but it doesn't look like we're going to see any of that. But overall, I mean, it's such a great cross-promotion in the Canadian Hockey League to watch the QMJHL and the OHL go toe-to-toe. I would love to see more of it. At the same time, I do know that it's not a cheap expense to make this
happen.
Absolutely not. So, you know, kudos to Mr. Irving and the Wildcats organization for being able to take part and, you know, be involved with something like this.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great experience for these kids going out to Kitchener, getting to play in a legendary rink like the Odd. It's going to be... Well, with the exception of Dylan Seitz, everyone else is first time playing in that rink. So, and it is one of the more legendary rinks in the Canadian Hockey League, for sure.
It's going to be an odd tournament, though, because the OHL just started their camp, so they're going to have a few more rookies than we are. We've almost got a roster set, so it'll be a different type of tournament. I love it. I think it's amazing.
But you remember, too, it's a great team-building event, too.
Oh, right?
I mean, you guys are out there, and I mean, they took the bus out. It's a bus road trip for all these guys. I was reading an article in the Times and Transcript that Neil Hodge wrote, and he said the same thing. You know, Darren Rumble was quoted in saying he has a good idea as to how this roster is going to fill itself out. All these guys are on this trip right now. You know, you look at from a team building. This isn't the first time Moncton has done these team building events. I mean, they've done events where they've taken the team down to New York for a bit. You know,
oh, really?
Those trips. I absolutely.
That's cool.
And you know, they think it's very valuable to show this brotherhood. And I mean, even though there's a lot of young like rookies on this team, there is still a very good seasoned amount of veterans on this club. That you know, it's going to be a good mix.
Yeah. Look, so you talked about the rosters getting set now. So we did have some trades this last week. We'll start off. Philippe Gaudreau, backup goaltender, was sent to Victoriaville for a 10th round pick in the 2019 draft. And there's somebody on this podcast that has some opinions of this. Am I correct?
Yes, that would be correct. I'll take the bone on this one. I was the guy hyping up Gaudreau as the guy who would win the backup job this year. And
in your defense, though, Jeremy, you weren't the only guy.
Right.
A lot of people were chopping that up.
Earlier episodes, I said McDonald because he was the only one that I looked at, but everyone I talked to was Gaudreau.
Yeah, I was very surprised following the game in St. Stephen on Sunday, reading Neil Hodge's episode and seeing that he was released. I was shook. I was almost shaking because I was so surprised. And then to find out he was traded was even more shocking. But hey, kudos to 16-year-old Charles-Antoine Lavallée on winning the backup job. That's been
statistically
established.
Statistically, best goaltender in the preseason.
Yes, if that's what they were going for, if they're going to take the goalie with the best stats in the preseason, he got the job.
Now, at the same time, you know, I think there was a lot to that trade. I mean, there was a couple people on Twitter saying, I don't believe it. There's more to it than we see. There's got to be. No, there wasn't. It was a hockey trade. Mm-hmm. They believe that Goodrow deserved a spot to get more ice time and play, and he wasn't going to get that in Moncton. You know, so Richie had to make a tough call. He got a 10th rounder for it. Ultimately, we drafted him with a 12th rounder. So, I mean, you got to be pleased with the return. The 12th rounder wasn't ours. It was a Drummondville pick. So, ultimately, you know, you got to be happy with that return, and you got to be happy for him. He's going to get some ice time.
Right.
You say that, but according to some Quebec media, he's not even reporting to Victoriaville. He's going straight to Quebec, Quebec Junior A.
Just kidding. Really?
Really?
Yes. See, I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Nope. That was reported in the initial, when the trade first broke on Twitter. I can't remember who it was. It was a Victoriaville reporter, but he was saying that Philip Goodrow would be reporting to Quebec Junior A, so he wouldn't even be a member of the TIG for now.
Hmm. You got to think they're part of it. It's part of the plan for them. Right. I mean, he's a good goaltender.
He is. Yeah.
He played very well. I was very impressed with what we saw him here at the Superior Propane Center. But yeah, ultimately, I think Moncton decided to go with Charles-Antoine Lavallée just because, again, you know, statistically speaking, there's a few things that, you know, we noticed and we talked about it before, things that we would have liked to have seen from him.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is his job now. I mean, he's the backup goaltender to what looks like Leclerc to start the season. But then ultimately, Mark Grammetbauer. I mean, you never know when Mark's coming back or when he's going to be healthy enough to play. But at the same time, a lot of people's concerns are, is he going to get the ice time that he should get? No, you know, Richie was, you know, quoted in saying goals to get him 20, 25 games this season. I'll be curious to see if that happens, because ultimately, as a young goaltender, you want to get him in. I mean, we saw what happened to Matthew Waite last year. You know, he didn't get the starts he should have gotten, especially after what took place the year before that. I thought he had earned that spot to get those starts when him and Dominic Thome split those atrocious hockey season, if you would. But then, you know, they acquire Mark Grammetbauer, which was a great trade. Yeah. I mean, that was a great acquisition for Moncton. But Matt Waite, of course, was the guy who ultimately lost out on that deal. Matt Waite now being picked up on waivers by the Rimouski Oceanic. And as you've alluded to,
via Schwinnigan, right?
Yeah, he was traded to Schwinnigan.
Right, yes.
He was Schwinnigan and then released and
absolutely,
then
yes.
Rimouski.
So he goes that route. So now, as you've said before, he's part of the enemy squad now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're going, right?
And so, it's a good problem to have. We talked about having a lot of depth in goal, and not everybody can get on the ice. And that's, we'll have to see how many games he gets, because that was a victim. Matt Waite was a victim of that last year.
Absolutely.
It's really tough to come in when you're sitting for a month and then, oh, by the way, you're going to start tonight, or go in the third period and mop up duty. It's really tough. But
like, go back last year. I want to show you too, Adam, because when you were there, go back last year just for a second and look at, okay, you hate to play the what-if scenarios here.
Right.
But what if Matt Waite had gotten more starts and maybe Mark Grammetbauer didn't have to, you know, carry this team on his back for as long as he did? Not that we would have seen a different outcome because they had that Blainville squad in that tough round. But ultimately, if you go back to it, I think Moncton played Blainville very good in that series for what we were up against. I mean, they were up against arguably the number two team in the country, essentially.
With a lot of injuries, suspension,
no
depth.
Jacob Pelche.
No Hudson.
No Jacob Hudson. You got Mark Grammetbauer, who at this point you have to think was tired because he just went that grueling seven-game series with Rimouski the round before. And again, I'm not trying to play crazy here.
No,
I'm not thinking
that Moncton
could upset Blainville. But
if we could have got him a few rests down the stretch, we don't know, and that's...
Could have been a different outcome.
Yep.
I mean, I think Moncton's going to be a very good hockey team this year. I really do, and it's all going to come down to goaltending and how it's managed. And I think Richie and Darren are going to do a fantastic job with this squad. They've gotten the team they want. They drafted properly. They're making the trades they need to make. This is a big year for Moncton. They're going into that brand-new building.
Yep.
And, you know, it's all going to start in the net, and they've made their decision there. But from there, they moved out to the blue line. So now let's talk about some of those blue
lines.
And
then the blue line, that was our weakest point when we looked at this team, and it got stronger through the preseason. It got stronger, and ultimately Jacob Arsenault is no longer here because of the free agents they brought in. He was sent to Sherbrooke for a seventh in the 2019 draft. Your thoughts, Mr. Dobson?
So this is my thoughts on that. First and foremost, it's never easy to see a vet pack up and, you know, have to leave. It's not good. You know,
there are kids.
Right, absolutely.
It's not like pros where you want them shipped out. They're kids.
100%. And if you look at the postseason last year, I think Jacob Arsenault had a very good postseason for Moncton last year. He stepped up when he needed to. Unfortunately for him this year, I don't think that translated into the preseason because, you know, it looked like he came to camp. Not necessarily, like, to me, he didn't stand out.
No.
You know, statistically speaking, again, it's tough to put a lot of emphasis on the preseason, but it is what it is.
But so, in that same token, you put it on there when it's a 19-year-old playing with rookies. He should have been better than he was, and he was a minus five, led the team in penalties. You can't have that as the veteran defenseman in a rookie
especially setting. In a situation where the number one concern to address coming into camp was your defense. Blue line,
yeah.
And you're a veteran blue liner, and you can't come to, you know. Now, ultimately, we wish Jacob nothing but the best. I think he'll do very well up there. You know, it's again, never easy to see him go, but you got to be happy with what Richie's done on our blue line in exchange for Jacob Arsenal going the other way. And a seventh-round pick for a guy who was a free agent, and Richie's proven time and time again he drafts well in the late rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to assume anything, but you have to think Jacob Arsenal knew something was up when he was told he had to report with the rookies. Instead of coming the week after with the veterans. You had to think.
That's fair, yeah.
Same thing with Kuzman.
I didn't think of it that way.
And Blackmore.
Lazur.
And Lazur, right? None of those guys are even on the roster this year.
But so, both Darren and Richie were quoted in saying, guys, this veterans is the beware. Year. Veterans beware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to earn it this year, boys.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, bottom line is, it was a good deal. Seventh rounder, I'm pleased with that return. You know, something else to add to Richie's arsenal in the draft.
Yeah, there was a lot of on the Twitter. Like, what was there more? Why didn't he get a higher return?
Did you just refer to it as the Twitter?
The Twitter, absolutely. Yeah.
How old are you now?
Don't worry about it. The Twitter. But there was a lot given on there. Like, why didn't we get more? Why didn't we package things together? Ultimately, A, you have to have a team that wants both players. And B,
absolutely.
Given Richie's track record, he's hit on a lot in the later rounds, right? Case like, I know point. What he's hit this year, but what has he hit on years
Case
past?
Case in point, Sam Dow. Eighth round pick, last cut on defense.
Yeah.
Still 15 years old, doesn't turn 16 until November. Still with the team.
I want to bring up Brandon Walker's name just because, again, you know, he's not here this year, but as promised, Richie let him keep his NCAA eligibility. Brandon came to camp. He made it very clear to a lot of teams that he was going to go NCAA. That's the route he wanted to take, or he wanted to go the U.S. route. But he came to camp to see it and check it out. So Richie was honest and kept his word. You know, he gave him a couple tryouts. And unfortunately, you know, on this year, maybe not your year for what we're looking for. But I loved what I saw from Brandon Walker. And I mean, you know, offensively, I think he could be a big piece of this Wildcat team moving forward. You know, you talk about these late round. I think Richie picked him in, what, the 10th round?
I think
ish, 10th, 12th round.
It was, might, it was might have been later than
it
that.
It was late.
It was 10th. I'm pretty sure it was a 10th round pick. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so. if he's here next year and he can put up the numbers he has in midget and such like that, like I've mentioned in a previous episode that I think he was the third leading scorer amongst 15-year-olds and Quebec midget AAA last year. So that's
in the first two
were first round picks,
top 10 picks.
Yes, yeah.
It was like 1-7 or 2-7 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if he shows up, that's a steal.
That's an absolute steal. But again, it just goes to show. I mean, you talk to these players around the league, and every one of them, that you, when you mention Richie Thibault's name, he's a very well-respected man in this league.
Yeah. So we've got, as you touched on, we've got the preseason tournament that those guys are in Kitchener. They're playing the Rangers on Friday, North Bay Battalion on Saturday, and the Saginaw Spirit on Sunday. I, like you, I love this idea. I came from the WHL. It's kind of like, you know, it's like a Memorial Cup, but it's in the preseason. Is this ever going to come here? Are we ever going to have Bathurst, Moncton, St. John, and I don't know, the closest OHL team. I can't think of who, like Kingston or something. Like
it would have to be a big budget team that's willing to spend the money to bring them down here.
London Knights.
Right, London, Windsor,
right, whatever.
One of those
yeah.
places,
yeah.
right? Like yeah. it's a situation where you've got to be financially committed because, I mean, I don't think it's a secret. There's not a ton of money in junior hockey.
No.
What? Right?
So to see this come to play, do I think it's a great cross promotion? Because other than the
Memorial Cup,
it's the only time we ever get to see these guys, right?
Yeah.
So unless, of course, you know, you're watching on the Super Sports Pack,
or you go to on a trip somewhere,
absolutely,
and
you're out
to catch
about.
A game, yeah,
absolutely. So I love the idea. I would love to see some cross stuff happen. Do I think we'll see it? If this goes well and it's successful and it's perceived well, we could see it.
The only way I see it not happening is let's remember that this is the first week of OHL training camps.
Right.
Right.
So OHL teams still have 40, 50 players in camp. Teams can't afford to bring that number of players, right, thousands of kilometers away to a preseason tournament.
Not with that attitude.
Well, come on. Let's be honest. Like,
no, you're right.
100%.
Right? If this... hey, move it to the first week of September, second week of September. Yes.
Can't do that. We're already into the Q season at that point. Second week of September is a week before the season starts.
So? It's still a preseason.
I'm not saying it's not. Look, you're not going to start throwing preseason games 4 or 5 days before the season starts.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
So is it only the C-Shep rules that we have to start so early? Like, yes. Why isn't it standard across the league? That's it?
Great question, Adam. That's been the number one asked question. Okay. Hashtag because it's the key.
Coming over here, that's why. Like, I don't understand why they don't all start the same, why they don't play the same amount of games. So if that's the only reason, then that question's been answered quite easily. Are you looking it up? Are you fact-checking me?
I'm trying to win my point against Dobson here.
That's...
Season starts September 20th.
The season starts September 20th, and Moncton has a preseason game against St. John on the 16th.
I take it back. 100%.
That's an hour and a half drive as opposed to coming from Ontario, though, to be frank.
When does the OHL season start, the regular season?
Same time as us.
So they start camp later, but the season starts the same.
Yes, because they don't have the CJEP rule.
Right, okay. Mm. All right. Take it back, cool fans. Take it back.
All right, so now let's move to
the
forwards.
Do not question me.
Don't question Google.
All right.
It was a Q site.
So we got 18 forwards left in camp. There's going to be cuts. You can kind of see it when you look at the roster. Is there anything anyone can do in this tournament to get a spot if it hasn't already been decided?
The final roster's already been determined, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's...
You're right.
Like, aside from scoring 6 goals in 3 games, like, just tearing it up.
And even that, buddy, I honestly don't even think that'll get her done.
No.
This roster is complete. It's done. It's just not released. I'm not going to mention names on who will be the last cuts. But it's... To me, in my opinion, they're in Kitchener just for the experience. Sure. They know who they are.
They've probably already been told, too.
Yes.
Like, yeah. They're here to take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
So, like, case in point, 2 days ago, Neil Hodge says that the defensive core is set with 7 defensemen. But yet today he announces that Sam Dow is still with the team in Kitchener. So that's 8.
Which is a great experience for Sam.
Absolutely.
I'm such a treat to watch that kid. And he's so young. He's going to be a stud for Moncton.
He didn't score a single goal in Midget last year?
I did not know that.
I didn't
either. 0 goals, 10 assists, and he scores in his first preseason game in the queue.
Story checks out.
That's impressive. So I put it out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram to ask us questions. We're going to get to that part of the show now. We're going to answer some of your guys' questions that you sent in.
The fans.
You guys ready?
Let's do it.
So this one came early, and so this should be fun. Owen Sobalski on Facebook and Logan_LGH on Instagram. Who do you want as the backup goalie? it's timing of the show.
I just want everyone to pause this episode, rewind maybe 10 minutes, and just, congratulate Charles-Antoine Lavallée.
I'm going to guess Charles-Antoine Lavallée, $50.
Any takers?
All right, so let's...
Any takers?
Yeah, let's...
While we're on the topic, though.
Yep.
I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Dave McKnight. He's been on Team Lavallée since day one of training camp.
Dave getting back-to-back week shout-outs here. Attaboy, Dave.
Follow this guy on Twitter. He's hilarious. Great hockey guy. McKnight. McKnight. _David. This guy is hilarious. Text me the other day when it's announced that Charles-Antoine Lavallée is named the backup goalie. He says, smiling like a butcher's dog.
So good.
Great reference.
So good.
That's a quote from legendary Pittsburgh Penguins play-by-play announcer Mike Lang.
Dave's a gem.
Yeah.
Dave's a gem.
So
to answer your question, it is Charles-Antoine Lavallée.
So we know that. So if we expand on a little bit, if you look at the schedule, they want him to play 20 games. If you look at the schedule, my first time he's going to play is Rennerande and Val-d'Or October 12th and 13th. No. One of those back-to-backs.
No. Much sooner.
When do you think?
You got a hot take, a bolt here.
Give me that schedule.
Give
me that schedule.
Hot take, bolt. What about you? Do you see him playing the first?
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm saying there's a possibility, and I almost got my head ripped off for even suggesting it. If you want to get this kid 20 to 25 starts this season,
because there's 11 back to back. So if you just give him back to back, that's only 11. You got to find him.
If I'm Darren Rumble, or if I'm Richie Tebow, Josh Heptich, the entire crew out there, I would honestly contemplate giving Lavallée the season opener in Bathurst. I really would. It's, I know everyone says I'm crazy. It's just an opinion. Please don't fight me on it. I'm saying that, and Leclerc played great last year. Yep. You know, there's a reason they brought him in. But you want to try to boost its kids' confidence. And I don't think it's any secret that Bathurst is not going to be an Arsenal like they were last year. In fact, they very well could be at the bottom of this for a long time.
Yeah.
Which Moncton holds that first-round pick of theirs next year, which will be a lottery pick in my assumption. So why not take the opportunity? Why? Why not?
Because it's the banner-raising night, and they're going to be high. Like, if they're going to be as bad as we think they're going to be, this will be the game that they will be amped up. And you really want to stick a 16-year-old in there?
With the offense that we're going to have, 100%. I have absolutely no qualms with this. And again, I'm not a coach for the reason. I mean, that's how it works.
You just
that's,
play one on a podcast?
That's it. You know, it's easy to coach from the sidelines, boys. But I will say this, and I mean, they'll know whether or not he's ready.
Yeah.
But if you're going to give the kid a start, why not potentially do it against the worst team in the league? I don't care how fired up they are. If you don't think these young kids in Moncton are going to be fired up this year, and how great would it look on his resume if they go through and do this? Again, probably won't happen, but from an honest standpoint, if I was going to do it, what the heck? Why not?
Yeah. If I was going to do it in the first week, I'd do it against St. John. I just wouldn't do
that. No, I wouldn't. See, that's where I disagree.
And that's fair. We can have that.
I know. That's what makes it good list.
So do you have your hot take now that you've studied the schedule?
I'll go a couple points on this one. Season opener in Bathurst. Can I see it happening? Yes. Reason why is because Moncton's going to want to spoil that party.
Yeah.
They're going to come out guns a-blazing.
How many times has a season started when the Moncton Wildcats have to sit in an opposing team's rink to watch the Memorial Cup get
raised? This will be the third time.
If you don't think, and this is the second time in New Brunswick, right? If you don't think this is like, there's no way that they want this to happen. And if he played well statistically, was the best goaltender in camp, but do it. You want to spoil that? How great of a storyline is that if this 16-year-old kid comes on and steals game one of the season?
I agree.
Yeah, no,
I agree.
You can see the reasons why, and
I'll go with myself. I'm going to say this game, but then I'm also going to say why I don't think it'll happen. I'll say Lavallée starts his first game on October 6th against Blainville, but I'll also say that he doesn't.
How does that even work?
Well, let me defend myself here.
Pick a game.
Let me defend myself. Go ahead. October 6th against Blainville, Francis Leclerc's going to be chomping at the bit to play that game.
100%.
Yeah.
That's the team that put him on waivers when he was their number one goalie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I did not know that.
He is going to want that game.
Of course
game.
He is. He's
going to
want to win.
He wants that. He's probably got a circle on his calendar already. But that's also...
That's assuming he's still playing hockey at that point.
Right. But that's also not to call Blainville a bad team this year, but they are not going to be very good.
They're in the Bathurst situation. They loaded up without the tournament.
Right.
Without the win.
Right.
So
they're not going to be very good.
No.
I still think Bathurst will be better than Blainville.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
We're going to table that discussion maybe next week.
Blainville still has Emil Sampson as their goalie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. 2-3 years ago playing high school hockey?
Yeah.
Great story.
And suddenly he's a
stud.
5'8" wall.
Stud. Anyways, to answer the question, the good news is I think we've all got different opinions on when we think he's going to get a start.
Yeah.
He'll get a start before the 10th game of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
So moving on. Hockey Hat Guy 74.
Schedule.
Oh, sorry. Yes. No worries. You're going to need the schedule.
Yeah. His question on Instagram. Will Hockey Hat Guy be allowed in the new rink December 7th when Charlottetown is in town?
Hockey Hat Guy is an absolute beauty, by the way.
He is an absolute beauty. I had a chance to meet him.
Big fan, too.
I met him.
He's a big fan of ours, big supporter of ours, too. And, big shout out goes to him. Will he be allowed in the building? Jeremy, I'll let you take this one first.
I'll let him in the building. Just bring me a nice sack of PEI potatoes with it. Nice 10-pounder.
That's not that much to ask.
You can get that through security.
Got to keep that hat at home.
Keep the hat at home.
And the flag.
The hat at home. And the flag and the jersey. The
flag, yeah.
If you come dressed in civilian clothes, we'll let you in the rink.
With a sack of potatoes.
Nah, just kidding. Of course you're welcome, buddy. It's a brand new barn. Get on down here, man.
Everyone needs to get down here.
Can't wait to see you down here.
All right. Sites_Gare on Instagram. Who is going to be the captain of our Moncton Wildcats?
Not that anyone's going to try to play favorites here, Gare. Yeah. But ultimately, there's so many different people that could wear the C this year. I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Honestly, no thought process. It very well could be your brother. I'm not saying that Dylan Seitz isn't good enough. He very well could be. He was a great leader. Look at how he shut down Lafreniere last season in the playoffs.
Serious changer.
Absolutely. And the team rallied around that. You're looking for a guy, and you could see him on the ice, and you could see him controlling how things go. Ultimately, I'll still stick with the guy I said a couple weeks ago. I think Jacob Pelche is going to wear the C this year. Whether or not, you know, again, my own personal opinion, I think this is his team moving forward.
Yep.
There are a lot of people who could wear this. You know, you've got Jonathan Aspero, Gabriel Silvest,
McKenna.
Jared McKenna, Mika Seer.
So we just named the assistants. If you put the C on Pelche.
I think, you know, but at this point, I think it's Pelche's C to lose. But, I mean, that's just my opinion.
I think they got to vote on it. I think it's a team vote. Like,
I hope
they,
so. I hope it's a team
vote.
Well,
it has to be. I mean, yeah.
That's what they've done in the past.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it'll be this year. But I don't think it's any surprise. If you look, anytime Jacob Pelche is on the ice, whether he's on the ice or on the bench, I've never seen a kid smile more ear to ear. And it's the most contagious thing I've ever seen in my life. And you can see the team rally around everything he does.
He is infectious. Like,
yeah.
That smile, when he scored in, at the under-18s.
Unbelievable.
That's just the smile on his face. It's infectious.
Yeah.
And it gets you pumped up. You know he's just a hockey guy, right? He loves the game.
He runs this town.
Pelche well, runs will. The town. Like it's
might as well let him run for mayor, I think, at this point. Yeah.
Look, what's the Donald? Worst that can happen?
Yeah, no, but ultimately, to answer the question, Gare, it could be anybody. I wouldn't
but
be disappointed.
But our consensus is Pelche.
Our consensus is Pelche, but if it does go to a guy like your brother, absolutely, we're very supportive of that, too.
So moving on, at Hugh777 on
stop
Twitter.
You.
All
stop.
Right.
Stop right
okay.
there.
Okay, all right.
Stop it.
Okay, yeah.
I smell beef.
Listen, Hugh. At Hugh777. Why do you block me on Twitter? I don't get it. I don't even know you. I don't think I've even ever interacted with you.
Come on, man.
What's your deal, man? Show some love. Let's get to your question.
All right. He wonders the regulations about sending players down and bringing them up, i.e. McDonald and Stewart last year, and who do we think that could happen to this year, though. We sent down and brought back up.
Right.
I think it's a goaltender, would be my guess.
Well, there's a couple goalies that could have the opportunities to be called up.
We've got a lot of them.
Tristan Gray was acquired from Schwinnigan. He's going to be playing up in Campbellton this year. He's going to be two and a half hours away. Alec McDonald's going to be 2.5 hours away in Truro.
Those are the two guys I was thinking. Those are the two guys.
There's
Blackmore.
I think Blackmore's days as a Wildcat might be over. I think if there's a call-up, they're probably going to go with a younger guy like probably Zach Alcorn.
Who also had a great preseason.
Yes.
Alcorn really impressed
Foreman,
me in the preseason.
If he's not on the roster.
I'll give Foreman...
If he's not on the roster.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I said if...
Zach Alcorn was the first overall pick in the Maritime Hockey League draft.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's a nice guy to have in your
back
pocket.
But as far as the rules, what are the rules behind it?
Rules in your back pocket. What? The rules are not in my back pocket, by the way.
You have the rules? That's awesome.
I don't have a back pocket. My understanding is that if a player plays 10 games, if a call-up plays 10 games, they are to be on your roster permanently. So 9 games is kind of the cutoff. It's kind of like the NHL thing where if you play
10
games
or more, you lose your,
right.
your
lose
entry level.
Makes sense.
Yeah, okay. That's my understanding of the rule. If you look, Jacob Hudson's a perfect example. 2 years ago, I think he played the 9 games.
Yep.
And they didn't want him to play the 10th because he'd have to be on the Wildcats roster. And then he went on to win the Telus Cup with Cape Breton West. So that's...
Worked out for everyone.
Yes.
So we move to the next one on Instagram, 420_nugget_spam. Who's your favorite Q team and favorite player on that team? So I'm going to expand this a little bit. Obviously, Moncton's our favorite team.
Yes.
Who's your favorite player on that team? And then, other than Moncton, who's your favorite player in the league?
Well, Adam, we'll start with you. Who's your favorite player on this roster?
The guy that runs this town, Pelche. Like, he just, for the reasons we talked about, He's just infectious, smile. He's a great player. I'm going to take him.
So should we create shirts that literally says Pelts
for Mayor
runs for this mayor. Town?
Or Pelts for Mayor.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Yeah. Pelts runs the town.
If anyone's listening that can make those shirts, we will gladly accept them.
That's awesome. So obviously, is that who you're going with,
Jay? I'm also going with Pelts, Jay.
All right.
Just looking for the t-shirt.
Hey. I will always expand my wardrobe.
For a hashtag so, Pelts Runs the Town t-shirt?
I don't even care if it's a hashtag.
So we've got hashtag and Tebow Trust, hashtag Pelts Runs the Town.
It's one of those hashtag like, 50 Shades of Grey.
And we're only three episodes in.
Awesome.
I'm going off the board, guys. Don't get me wrong, I love Pelts, but I've got to go with basically one of my favorite Wildcats over the last few years, Jonathan Aspero. You want to talk about quiet leaders on and off the ice? This kid does it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk to the coaching staff. You talk. He's the one player on the ice you never have to worry about. You never have to talk to him when it's over because he does everything to a T.
He's just invited to the rookie camp.
Absolutely.
For Ottawa.
Absolutely. Invited to Sam's rookie camp from the 7th to the 9th, I think.
Yeah, the same weekend that the other guys are gone. The tournament with Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, and I think one other team.
Jonathan Aspero, to me, is an absolute gem of a hockey player. Every time you see him come on in, everything from his glasses to his sick flow, man. Like, that guy is styling full tilt.
Like, he is suited.
Absolutely.
He's got some swag. Those big glasses, every time. I love those things.
He's an absolute gem and one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet. But to watch what he does with this team and to watch how he plays the blue line, and for a guy who started as a forward and is now arguably our best defenseman.
Well, that's interesting to learn.
It's just absolute. He's my pick. He's my favorite Wildcat. I think he's been my favorite Wildcat for the last couple of years now. He does everything to a T. I'm going Johnny Aspero.
All right, so now we go to the rest of the queue. We'll come back to you, Mr. Dobson. Who's your favorite player in the rest of the league?
Right away, we're going Lavoie to Halifax. He's the kid I'm looking forward to this year. You looked at what he did last year. And he absolutely impressed me, and I think there is nothing. I think this kid's going to light up the league this year. He was an absolute treat to watch. Unfortunately, he's in our division and hosting a Memorial Cup this year. But he's the guy. Raphael Lavoie to me in Halifax is going to be the guy.
I am going to Rouen with one of the top 10 names in the league, Peter Abbandonato.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I love it.
So that name we can get right, but some of ours we can't get. Did you get clarification on?
Oh my goodness, boys! I didn't DeJong, even tell you. That's DeJong. Right. Okay. Absolute apologies.
Breaking news. Out to
Tristan DeJong. His name. I have clarified it with the team, and unless somebody has led me astray, I've been told his name is DeJong.
All right. So we got
Tristan DeJong.
No we more TDJ.
No more TDJ. We're good.
So back to you. Sorry, Jeremy,
to cut you off.
That's okay. It was impressive, so I had to make that statement.
But yes, Peter Abbandonato, Ruin Aranda. Won't get to see him much this year, but he's gonna tear it up. I think he's probably gonna be a 100 point player.
Good prediction. You?
I'm gonna go with the guy that I wanted the Oilers to draft, and that's Dobson. No Dobson. That he's my favorite player to watch. He's so smooth, moves the puck. He's just great.
Arguably the greatest last name in the business.
So next question.
Notice saying. How nobody said anything.
Just saying, don't you worry. If Noah's listening, don't you worry about it.
As much as I'd love to have him here, I don't know if that ever happens, but he's a treat to
shoot,
watch.
Seeing how we shoot a Wildcat podcast and he doesn't play for the Wildcats, it's going to be a challenge, but go ahead.
All right. So the final question from Eric Murray _ Realtor on Instagram. Who needs to make the biggest leap for the Wildcats to be successful this season?
You want to take this one first?
I'll start off, yeah.
Okay.
If the rumors are true that Adam Capanelli is going to be playing with Alex Ivanov and Anderson McDonald, I have to go with Capanelli. The price we paid for him was high. This is the year he's going to show why that price was so high.
Oh, he's an absolute star. I'm looking for big things from Adam this year, absolutely.
He's a face-off dynamo.
Yeah, that Agreed. Third line last year in the playoffs Agreed. Was fantastic with him. Yeah.
He took some key face-offs during the postseason last year as well.
For sure.
Obviously, when you had James Phelan on your first line, never losing a draw, to know that you had, and then to know you've got a good solid backup guy in Capinelli, you can come on in. And again, Cap missed the start of last season.
True.
Very first red-white game, takes a puck off the ankle, and he was done. He was out for a while. You know, he came on in, took him a while to get through, but once he caught his stride, man, Adam looked real good last year. It's a good pick. I like that.
Yeah, I will go with, if he stays healthy, Mika Sir on that top line.
Has to stay healthy.
Absolutely.
Because on when I did the expectations episode last season before you guys got there, I said McKenna could get to 100 points, and Pelche could have that McKenna leap if Mika Sir is healthy down the middle, and those guys can play together all year
long.
You've
seen Mika Sir's training videos on Twitter and what he's doing to prepare himself for this year, and he looks like an absolute beast. I think, you know, I've read articles about Jeremy McKenna this year as well, and McKenna set some great goals for himself. He talked about, and he was quoted in saying this, there is not a team in the league that can stop this line if everybody's healthy. Yeah. And I agree with him. Mm-hmm. And Mika Sir is a key piece to that. And if he stays healthy, watch out, because I think all three of those guys could put up 100
points. And our top six, like you with Capinelli and Sir, that top six is one of the better top sixes in the league. I'll put them up against any top six.
Not even the top six, the top nine.
I'd agree with that as well. I'm going to go off the board again a little bit here because I'm going to go back on the blue line. I'm expecting big things from Jack Tucker this year. He's a kid who, again, who had a great postseason last year. I'm hoping to see him expand on that. I would like to see, you know, it's easy to give offensive guys this props. Love and this prowess because that's what's going on. Our D-core needs to be so good this year. They have to. They have to improve. We put some young guys out there. They're going to look at Jack Tucker to help be a veteran along with your Aspero, along with your Sylvest, to make sure that these young guys coming up. And we've got some absolute gem young defensemen on this blue line this year to make sure these guys are ready to go. Jack Tucker's my guy.
I very much agree with all that. That's it for the question portion. We will do this again, I don't know, probably just maybe before the actual season starts. But thank you to everyone that reached out and sent in your questions. We truly do appreciate it. This has been fun.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for this. And again, if you're out and about, stop by the Sports Rock on Mountain Road. They've got great wings, great food, fantastic service, and they were an absolute treat to have us around last night.
Steak night on Thursday is pretty good, too.
It's awesome.
Check out the website for
Jeremy's
daily specials.
Yeah. Jeremy's endorsement.
Wing night and steak night. Thanks again for joining us on tonight's episode. Look, fans, we're 24 hours away. Individual tickets go on sale tomorrow. You can pick them up at the box office or go to Ticketmaster, get them for the home opener. You do not want to miss it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Moncton Wildcast.